Next on the agenda, Mr. Chairman, items number 3, 4, and 5. Item number 3 is an application for rezoning for the premises located at 200 Old Mill Road under file DAZ 206 of 2008. In accordance with the City Winnipeg Charter and Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Item number 4 is an application for a conditional use for premises at 200 Mill Old Mill Road under file DCU 1087-83 of 2008-D to permit the establishment of an office use containing a floor area of 9,184 square feet. Item number 5 is an application for a variance for the premises at 200 Old Mill Road under file DAV 1086-94 of 2008-D to permit a greater floor area ratio. Mr. Chairman, I believe that the applicants are present.
Okay, if I could ask you to come up. I'd also like to make a public statement here just before we get started, though. I know in the original, I guess, flyer that was sent out, there was representation that I was approving of this in nature before it came through, and I want to say that I asked the applicant to make to amends of that and repeal that initial thing, because decisions are made at this committee, and no decisions have been made on this. We want to hear all sides, and you want to make sure that the community has a say in things. People can take a look at diagrams and charts all we want, but if it's you people that are affected one way or the other. So I want to put that in the public record that no decisions have been made, and that we'll be hearing all representation from that time. And there is a second flyer that was brought out. I wasn't thrilled with the second one that went out as well in terms of my opinions on this, because we sit as an independent judge on these types of issues, and we want to make sure that we hear all sides. And as such, I'd like to put that in the public record. So. Okay, gentlemen. Good. Why don't you tell us about the proposal?
Well, first, I'll put a little bit about, first of all, your comments you just made. And like I said, we had no way intended for what we had said to be interpreted as any sort of pre-approval or of any of those things that you just sort of alluded to. And we apologize for any, misinterpretation of those remarks. We were just simply stating that we had spoken with the counselor in regards to what we were talking about here. And we just wanted that to be known to the public, that we did feel that it was important that we did talk to the counselor, as well as talking to the planner, Mr. James Veach, about
our proposal
on this site. I'll begin by just talking briefly about our company. A lot of this stuff is going to be familiar to a lot of the people here in the meeting, because it's all was included in the package that we sort of gave out door-to-door. We unfortunately weren't able to organize a community meeting of everybody, so we felt the next best thing for us to do would be to put some sort of a package together for everybody affected on the street, so that they would have a chance to review all this information and contact us with any questions. And in fact, some people did contact us, and we answered those questions promptly. It continued to be open right up to the point of this meeting. Dobie Properties Limited is an emerging commercial and residential development company in the Winnipeg area. Since 2003, we've completed dozens of custom-built projects for satisfied customers. In addition to a wide range of renovations and property management services, we are also on the leading edge of eco-friendly construction. With a total of 67 years of management experience and 63 years of trades experience on our team, we are committed to the utmost quality of every single project. We employ the majority of our trades. We employ directly as many of our trades as possible, including a solid blend of mature experience, youthful drive, and creativity. This allows us to ensure quality workmanship in everything we do. We're here today in regards to the vacant parcel of land on the southwest corner of Old Mill Road and Portage Avenue. This land has been vacant for many years, and we've exhausted several options with the city on what we can build and what is feasible for us to construct on this site. We have also attempted to sell this piece of land as a single family, as something viable for a single family home, and up to this point, there has been zero interest in it. And I think also that it shows that this piece of property has traded hands times before. And again, no one has been able to successfully put a single-family home under the R1 zoning on this piece of property. With the lot directly adjacent to one of the city's busiest routes, it is an undesirable location for any single-family home. The proposed new building would act as a buffer between the busy street and the residential area of Old Mill Road. The location of the building will be set back to have the same front yard as its neighbors, ensuring that the building will be out of view from their front windows, with the building height being 39 feet and located to the north of any residential properties. It will not shade any of its neighbors. Also, with 13 on-site parking stalls, there should be little concern that the parking will overflow to the street. We also have a photocopy here of the zoning bylaw, which shows that we are complying with, and we took extra special measures to be able to comply with the parking allowance for a building of this nature, with one stall for every 750 square feet. That is the reason the building was elevated, and to accommodate for parking underneath. Also, considering the building is set back to the very rear of the lot, visibility for east or west turns onto Portage will remain unchanged. We will also be creating a beautifully landscaped yard to further enhance its appeal as a transition from the busy street to the quieter residential neighborhood, as vegetation has been found to be the most effective way to dilute street noise and deflect light pollution. We believe that this will increase the value of both our building and our neighbors. We have had several meetings with the city planner for the area, and he has helped us design the building, which will be compatible with the surrounding area. We've also sat down with Councillor Fielding, as mentioned before, but like I said, in no way has he granted approval. We only went to him merely for information and to show him what we were planning for this piece of property. We are also working with University of Manitoba Faculty of Architecture CAS Lab in incorporating fabric form concrete into parts of the building structure. This is a very exciting opportunity to display some Manitoba-grown technology that emphasizes beauty and sustainability. The size of the site and the scale of the project are a perfect match and an opportunity to add to the prestige of the neighborhood. You can see in this diagram here some of the ideas behind the building, the style of the building, and how it will look with. These are fabric form concrete panels, and this is also fabric. This is an idea of the fabric form of pile. It almost creates like a piece of sculpture with the concrete compared to your typical construction. Again, we wanted to show that this is going to be a unique, beautiful building. It's not going to be a piston ring. It's not going to be a strip mall. It's not going to be a restaurant. It's not going to be something that has. It's not going to be a hair salon. It's not going to be something that has patrons coming back and forth constantly. It's going to be set up at a building for. It's an office space. It's a client office space. We already have a conditional lease to a financial advising firm that requires minimal guests, minimal parking spaces, and has maybe 3 or 4 visitors a day. That's the nature of the types of businesses we want to have here at this piece of property. And we didn't want this again because we do see the value in the site and we do appreciate the neighborhood. We do feel it's a very attractive neighborhood, and that is why we felt that a building design sensitive to that neighborhood would only be fitting for this piece of property.
Are you done with that presentation, please?
Concerns were brought to our attention. I'd just like to briefly go over those concerns. One, what I've sort of touched on already, was increased traffic flow. And with the nature of these types of businesses, like I already mentioned, there would probably be no more traffic flow that would increase compared to if it was just a single-family home there, as far as guests coming and going. And at the same time, too, there would be no reason, because this is located right on the corner of Old Mill Road and Portage, not 4 blocks down, or not even 2 houses down, there would be no need for anybody to turn down Old Mill Road when they can easily just turn off of Old Mill right on to Portage immediately. It would make little sense for somebody to try to get go the way down Old Mill. And the fact that Old Mill only leads to Woodbridge, the situation for turning left or right from Woodbridge to Old Mill are the exact same scenario. So that's just, yeah, that was one of the concerns. Next one was pedestrian safety. Whether the property stays vacant or there's a building on it, I'm not sure how, with the requirements that are set in our building code that was just updated March 1st, specifically detail what to do with pedestrian safety as far as lighting is concerned and issues of, especially issues in parking spaces. And at the same time, another concern that was brought up was lighting from neighbors and light pollution, and that is also addressed. We brought along, this is from the zoning bylaw stating the requirements for lighting, for eliminating light pollution, for eliminating the property having light encroaching on its neighbors. Delivery vehicles was another concern that was brought up. Again, similar to the increased traffic flow, they were pulling off of Portage, parking in the parking lot for the building, and leaving without wasting time driving down Old Mill Road and going up to Woodbridge, because again, you have the same conditions turning east or west from Old Mill as you do from Woodbridge. Additional parking in the street, also again, as I already mentioned, be very little traffic that will be coming to the building, and with that traffic coming, we have the proper amount of parking required for this type of building and this building square footage. Snow removal, water runoff, and sewers was another concern. Snow removal is contracted out to a separate company they will be in charge of completely removing the snow from the site. We have to completely remove the snow from the site to stay within our required amount of parking stalls. So that is, there are no options in that scenario. Night security went over. Noise was a concern. This building will be a place of business, a 9-to-5 business type operations. There'll be a lot less noise in a building like this compared to a home where people are having barbecues on the weekends and parties in the evening. This will have, I'm not saying that's what would happen if there was a single family home there, but the nature of an office building is much quieter than the nature of a residential home. The building will actually act as a buffer from noise from Portage to the residents of Old Mill Road. There's complaints of things like Sunday night cruise night, where they rip up and down Portage Avenue. This will, from the landscaping to the building itself, will create a perfect buffer between the residential street itself and Portage Avenue. Construction concerns, like those concerns, regardless of what somebody builds there, there would be the same construction concerns, and the city monitors that to make sure that all contractors, us included, that everybody's that is operating safely and operating, and the commercial restrictions on construction are stricter than the residential restrictions on construction. So again, this would be a safer site than if it was a residential site. Similar concerns, those were the concerns sort of that were brought up to our attention by the residents of Old Mill Road. Similar concerns were brought to our attention from the residents of Woodbridge Avenue. So I won't go too much into those. I'll just be repeating myself. One of them was that the people will be turning left from Portage onto Woodbridge because there's no left turns allowed between 3:30 and so turning during rush hour onto Old Mill Road. The nature of this business, people would be leaving at that time versus going. And it would make little sense for any guest to know that you can actually go down Woodbridge and get around to Old Mill Road. The city has determined the traffic flow that nobody is allowed to make this turn at this time. The city has done that well ahead of time before any building has ever been there. And again, with the nature of this building, there wouldn't be any cause to think that somebody would actually even first off know that those two streets actually come together and take such an elaborate detour to get back around to a point that's right there. Condos also had some concerns. Again, a lot were the same concerns. One of theirs that was different was the garbage bins. As you can see from our site plan, the garbage bins, because it is an office space, it doesn't require large BFI bins. There is a garbage enclosure on site, which is left underneath the building, totally enclosed, because we are, there is a curtain wall that drops all the way down in this section here. So this would be entirely enclosed, both from the view of portage and the view of any resident. Another concern was the loss of view, and I guess they would be thinking of the loss of view from their unit down to Portage Avenue itself. This building can only be 39 feet tall according to C1 zoning regulations. An R1 building is allowed to be 35 feet tall, so we're only talking about a 4-foot difference in height to a view of Portage Avenue. It's not, regardless of what goes there, it's such a minor difference, 4 feet, for it to be, you know, a legitimate concern. We just don't feel that it is. And then another concern was parking in their lot. As we mentioned before, we do have the required amount of parking stalls for this type of property. And also, you're allowed to park on Portage Avenue after 9 a.m. between Old Mill Road and Woodbridge. So again, it would make little sense for somebody to go and park all the way over to those condominiums than to park right on Portage or in our lot, which there is ample room for. Those were, I believe, all of our points that we wanted to touch on. Anything else?
No. You guys are presenting together, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah. I do have a number of questions. Do you want to go first? Well, actually, I'll go first. Okay, so the type of businesses that you're talking about for the office complex, you said there are some accountants. What other businesses are you...
are pursuing?
Yes.
All like businesses to that, financial advisors, accounting... accounting firms, things of that nature. It also can be used as, you know, studio space, like art studio space. It's going to be a very attractive and different type of building in a way, just the way it's constructed. But like I said, there's the cost per square foot for the lease would not make it practical for anybody who has in the nature of a business for lots of coming and going to ever operate in there. There aren't kitchens or anything in there, so you can't have, you know, you can't have a coffee shop, you can't have any of those types of things. It's limited to pretty much what it says in the bylaw, office space. Right. So
there's 3 floors, obviously, of workable office space.
Yeah.
I mean, how many businesses are potentially able to go there? Obviously,
one per floor.
So 3. So you're going to have that. You're going to have probably 3 or 4 at least employees kind of per floor. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like with the nature of some of those businesses, they are financial in nature, so you will have people dropping by. So I guess a concern might be just about some of the parking that are there, 13 stalls. Mm-hmm. So you naturally are going to have some flow over traffic. I'm just not sure how you can guarantee, I guess.
Nobody parking on Old Mill Road.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, restrictions would be a perfect way to solve that as far as the city's concerned, not allow people limit parking on Old Mill Road. Also, if the nature of an office space, if it was the city's intention to make it so that you had to have 5 spots, then we would make the building so you had to have 5 spots. We just complied with the bylaw. And if, you know, if, like I said, if the bylaw were different, we would have to design this building differently.
Okay. I know our planning department talked a little bit, I think, in the second round, just in terms of having the coffee and conversation, so you didn't, there wasn't an ability to...
No, just to organize, find a space that was viable. It was brought to our attention that we might be able to use the common area of the condominium next door, but then we were told that that wasn't viable. So we thought the next best thing to do and to not delay the process any further was to put these packages together. As you can see, they have full design drawings of what the building is to look like, along with the letter that I just wrote to you, that I've read some parts of, and a rendering of, and the same rendering that we see here.
Did you try any other facilities to kind of have the town hall meeting, or did you just try the seniors' home or the seniors' condominium?
This part is from that. Then we also contacted a couple of the coffee shops and things like that, like, what was it called? just up the street next to Starkville, called, I went into Roca, I think it's Roca Jack's, yeah. By Stark Sergeant Sunday, seeing if something would work there. And then the person said they don't know if they'd be able to accommodate something like that at that time. Those are our only attempts. And then we also felt that from the response that was given from James, that it was that as long as we got this information to the people that were concerned and made ourselves available to answer any of those questions privately, there wasn't a need for public to publicly talk to them in a group setting.
A lot of times with these things, it's best to kind of get more public input than
yeah. No, I understand, but it was the timing in when this was expressed to us, because at first we didn't anticipate a large public outcry about this situation, and then after speaking with James, we heard that there was public concerns, and that's why we went the avenue that we did.
Right. Could you talk a little bit about the buffer zones? We talked about fencing and kind of everything around shrubbery. How you see that would not impact
reduce the impact of on the neighbors?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, like I commented before, it's been found that the best way to reduce both light pollution and noise pollution is through vegetation. Vegetation provides several different angles of deflection, and from that, the city also has requirements in vegetation now with the new zoning bylaw, and. This piece of property is already fenced from the condominium along this back half, as well as also already fenced along up to the neighbor's parcel of land. And at the same time, we've deliberately aligned our building with the fronts of all the rest of the adjacent homes to, again, prevent anybody from, being able to look out their window and see this building, from their front window and see this building, or also from leaving Old Mill Road and have clear visibility up to the east and to the west along Portage Avenue. Fencing being already in place, the next best thing to do is to put in vegetation, because it's a much more attractive to have vegetation around here versus continuing this fence all the way along right to the corner, because then you might as well have the building there. It's just as big an intrusion as having this building extend right to the edge of the property, also with visibility concerns with that.
Did you have any questions, Councillor Corn?
No.
Councillor?
Yeah, I see you've got signage penciled in for the, I guess that would be the northeast corner.
Yeah.
And right beside where that vehicle is. Well, how high, what kind of height are you talking here? I'm trying to see if there's any
an elevation of that, or
yeah,
I believe there is an elevation of that. If you look on, actually, you can't really tell because of all the vegetation. Oh yeah, you can see it on the north elevation, which is your second last page.
Okay. Yeah. So it's what, 10 feet high, maybe?
No. That's
6?
4.
Okay.
That's not meant to be large signage. Again,
will it be the name of the building, or will it be the name of the lead tenant? Or?
Well, it will be. That hasn't been determined. Honestly, the sign was just sort of put in there to people to have an interpretation of a sign actually being there.
Okay.
There are regulations into how you can sign a building of this nature. We obviously wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't be coming back for a variance for a sign. We would do it now. And we have no intention of doing anything like that. Signage isn't even. We want the building to really, the nature of this type of building, this type of construction, this is going to be all the signage it needs, really. And that's, and again, one of the things we thought it's going to be like a trademark of this property.
So. Another question. We will call you back to after
for
the opposition, so you can respond to it. But just in terms of the entrance on Old Mill Road, a lot of business. Obviously, the Portage Avenue. It's easier and it doesn't impact traffic flows as much.
Yeah.
Can you comment on that per se?
The issues behind shifting the entrance from here to Old Mill Road, I mean to Portage. One impacted our parking plan, being able to have the same amount of stalls that we wanted to have on here. And two, so that, you know, we want to create obviously as many stalls as we can. And the other issue was there is a bus stop right there that would become, that would be impacted by having that, that turn in. And for that reason.
How much would the turn off from Portage Avenue, if it was, how much would it impact on your parking?
I can't say the exact amount of stalls they would have an issue on. There was that concern. That concern was raised immediately, and the second concern, like I said, was the fact that there was a bus stop right there. And that should also note that whenever anybody does a parking plan, we didn't have to do a parking plan in this situation because there is enough parking for what is required. Now, one of the things they looked at is they make what is the location of the building in comparison to adjacent bus stops. Is it easily accessible from public transit, which this building is? Does it have an area for bicycle storage? Yes, this building does. We want to make this building feasible, and we want to make this building within all of the requirements for the C1 zoning, and we want to make this an attractive building for the neighbors, because like I mentioned before, we do appreciate the beauty of the neighborhood.
Great, thank you very much, and we'll recall you back up after we hear from some people who are opposed to the development. Now, I know there is a number of people here in opposition. Do you have kind of a group leader, or do each one of you want to speak? I can call your names out. And
I'd like to speak, please.
Yeah, you're Catherine.
Sure.
Catherine Winkworth.
Thank you very much.
Catherine Winkworth, and my family and I have been residents of Old Mill Road for 46 years. I would like to point out that due to the time of the day, we are here small in number, but as is evidenced by our petitions and letters, we are here large in support of defeating this particular rezoning application. Old Mill Road is a beautiful, quiet residential street with 34 homes. This is not a transient neighborhood. In fact, we have second-generation families returning to their childhood homes. Old Mill Road is not a straight-through road. We have three curves in the road, and children have always been made aware to watch for cars. The children, which at present number 24, have always felt safe to cross the street, to play hockey, to have football scrimmages, to build skateboard ramps, or to ride their bikes on the street. They have felt safe because we are a residential neighborhood. Bringing commercial property to our street will significantly increase the traffic, which in turn becomes a huge safety issue. There is no back lane between this vacant lot and at 200 Old Mill Road and the next residence, as access to this proposed building and parking lot will be from Old Mill Road. You are now asking us to contend with delivery trucks, BFI trucks, snow removal vehicles, and huge construction vehicles and machinery. We, the residents, also have grave concerns regarding depreciated property value, particularly those adjacent to 200 Old Mill Road. The ensuing domino effect, night security, light pollution, signage, water runoff, and visual obstruction when exiting Old Mill Road onto Portage Avenue. Our concerns are numerous, but I feel it is imperative to speak to the lack of candor created throughout the neighborhood by Dobie Properties. This company has owned the property at 200 Old Mill Road for some time, but not until March of 2008 were homes in immediate proximity to the lot given letters regarding the proposed building and rezoning. When one reads this letter, phrases such as, "We've exhausted several options with the city to build on this property," or "We have met with the city planner and he has helped us to design a building," the language of this letter sent to select homes on Old Mill, mentions by name our counselor, Scott Fielding, and alludes to his favoring of rezoning. I must comment, however, at this time, that this particular statement had to be reissued with the quote stating now that Scott Fielding felt the project looked exciting. As voting citizens that will negatively be affected by this application, we were told that our counselor, Scott Fielding, would be unable to communicate with us as he sat on this rezoning committee. Taking into consideration all of these above, a definite sense of mistrust has been created between the neighborhood and Dobie Properties. For four decades, the families of Old Mill Road have fought with dogged determination a winning battle with regards to rezoning properties at Old Mill Road and Portage Avenue from residential to commercial. We, the residents, are feeling increasingly victimized by this plight. In fact, as recently as 2005, residents of Old Mill Road sat in this very room objecting to and successfully defeating a rezoning application regarding the placement of two fascia signs to a home advertising a home business. At this time, I would like to quote directly from that appeal committee itself. Is of the opinion that criteria A through D of subsection 247 of the City of Winnipeg Charter set out below are not satisfied. A, is not consistent with Plan Winnipeg and any secondary plan. B, does create a substantial adverse effect on the amenities, use, safety, and convenience of the adjoining property and adjacent area. C, is not the minimum modification of a zoning bylaw required to relieve the injurious effect of the zoning bylaw on the applicant's property. And D, is not compatible with the area in which the property to be affected is situated. How is it that in our democratic society, the rights of a few supersede those of an entire neighborhood? We, the residents of Old Mill Road and surrounding community, have the right to a safe residential neighborhood free from commercialization. Thank you very much for your time. At this time, I also have a letter from another resident who could not attend tonight. Should I read that now or should I do that at a later moment? Thank you. This is from Tracy Adam. Attention to the following. April 13th of 2008. I am unable to attend the meeting April 15th, 2008, as I will be in another province training physicians as it pertains to work obligations and an event scheduled months ago. I have been a resident of Woodhaven for 33 years. I grew up here. I attended Woodhaven Elementary School. This is where I have my roots. The largest medical company in the world currently employs me. I have been an employee there for 16 years. I have an international position. You may be asking, why is this pertinent to this zoning meeting? Well, the fact is, I could live anywhere in the world, and I choose to live in Winnipeg, particularly the Woodhaven area. I was astonished when I received the first letter of notice from Brian Salvador of Dobie Properties. His written statement that Mr. Fielding sees no issues with the proposed building and is excited about this project is extremely concerning and shows a foregone conclusion. Progress happens in life. Change is inevitable. However, change that affects a community and the beauty and solitude of a community will be strongly opposed by the residents affected by traffic, lighting, loss of view, security, delivery vehicles, construction, garbage, pedestrian safety, etc. As if the initial letter of notification from Dobie Properties was not shocking enough, they had the arrogance to send another letter with the actual details of this horrific building. I will give them credit for their candor and efforts to be transparent, but it was a little late. Exactly where did the architects that have made the design of this proposed building graduate? Did they observe the surroundings? I have noted that they are also working with the University of Manitoba Faculty of Architecture, CAST Lab, to utilize materials in the building process. Did they notice that Old Mill Road has homes that are warm, welcoming, and in keeping with the park and tranquil and quiet environment? Hopefully, Dobie Properties would be able to retrieve a credit from any costs that they have incurred regarding the design and plans of this square, sterile box that they have shown drawings of. Did they assume that this was downtown Winnipeg? It is a residential street on a park. My work entails direct planning involved with provincial and national health care. I work directly with the Minister of Health as well as the federal government. When implementing any changes, there are long lists of parties we must seek approval from. I am overwhelmed with the way this proposal has been handled without the initial input of the direct residents. I will attend all future meetings. I await the results of the meeting you are having today, and then my attorney will have a formal list of requirements and information for the residents of this community and myself. I have just had a formal appraisal of my property from a certified licensed appraisal firm. I will also pay for one based on the construction of this proposed initiative and rezoning. Best regards, Tracy Adam. Thank you.
What's her address?
Her address is 170 Old Mill Road.
Okay. Just a couple questions here for you. So obviously you feel that specifically in terms of some of the traffic flows that are there, that's going to definitely impact kind of your community, where you are. You feel that it should be a residential component. Assuming that's, I don't know if you care to expand upon that at all, but you talked about some of the delivery trucks and that sorts that are...
Yes. I spoke about. I'm sorry. Did you have a question for me? I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's your crux of your argument, anyways, with the traffic flows that you're talking about.
Our concerns are the safety of the children, the safety of the pedestrians, the increased traffic, the parking possibility problems, the obstruction of traffic going off of Old Mill Road, garbage concerns, snow removal, water runoff.
And second of all, I guess just in terms of the conversation with the developer, the applicant. Did you?
I have never had a conversation with the developer.
Because I think that is important to you. You make sure you need to have community. This is from your side of things, but I think it is important to have community involvement in all these things. So, thank you very much. I also do want to remind you that I did ask for that original letter to be rescinded anyways in terms of my support. And once again, this is something that's decided here today at the public hearing. So,
thank you.
Okay, Janet, is it Gowan?
My petition from last
year. Okay, so you're on Woodbridge. Okay. Yeah, it kind of ties off with the Old Mill Road and then turns into Woodbridge. But it also gets connected. It's over there. It's 471. Sorry.
Ready? Okay. My name is Janet Gowan, and I've resided on Woodbridge Road for more than 20 years. I'm here to speak on behalf of the Woodbridge residents. I have given the clerk a petition signed by 43 Woodbridge residents, representing 24 of the 26 households on my street. The residents at two addresses weren't home. We have concerns about the following issues. One, westbound vehicular traffic on Portage Avenue is restricted from turning onto Old Mill between the hours of 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. Also, Old Mill has no turning lane, so there will definitely be an increased traffic flow along Woodbridge throughout the day. Two, there are no sidewalks the entire length of Woodbridge. Our pedestrian traffic is comprised of Woodbridge residents, Old Mill residents headed to Woodhaven Park at the foot of my street, Old Mill residents taking a shorter route to Portage Avenue, residents from Ashcroft Point and elsewhere along Assiniboine Avenue who cross the footbridge spanning Sturgeon Creek to use Woodbridge, students who are too old to be bused to school. You must note that all area schools are located on the north side of Portage Avenue, and neighborhood children playing in the street. Three, there are no back lanes on Woodbridge or Old Mill, so traffic travels the Old Mill-Woodbridge route to and from Portage Avenue. Other traffic includes three school buses twice daily on weekdays, garbage trucks, blue box recycling trucks, tradespeople, a Canada Post truck that comes Mondays to Fridays to leave mail at the drop box that was recently placed at the juncture of Woodbridge and Old Mill. Canada Post trucks that frequently deliver parcels to residents in the area definitely use Woodbridge to access Old Mill Road and Assiniboine Crescent. Clientele of Avalanche Parking and the Caddy Shed stores located at Woodbridge and Portage Avenue. BFI trucks emptying the garbage bin at Avalanche Carpeting Store. Trucks making deliveries to and from Avalanche Carpeting. Number four, The rezoning of 200 Old Mill would create additional traffic from employees of the proposed businesses, the clientele of those businesses, BFI trucks required to empty the garbage bin located there, delivery trucks and other service personnel going to the businesses. Five, the additional traffic will further speed up the deterioration of Woodbridge Road, which has curves that are next to non-existent and no storm sewers. Six, it's questionable as to whether the proposed 13 parking stalls will accommodate all the employees of those businesses and their clientele. In March, a letter from Dobie Properties Limited was delivered to only a few Old Mill residents. Nobody on Woodbridge was notified, either by letter number one or number two. We got nothing. Regardless of the proposed architectural drawings, we are concerned about the eventual and future use of 200 Old Mill Road. You cannot guarantee that over time, only quiet businesses will occupy any commercial development there. Many Woodbridge residents don't understand why it's necessary to rezone the property at 200 Old Mill when, just a short distance west on Portage Avenue, there's vacant office space available, as well as vacant land that's been previously designated for commercial use. The whole matter of the rezoning of 200 Old Mill Road seems a foregone conclusion in favor of the developer.
Thank you, Janet.
No questions?
No, there's... Like I say, it isn't a foregone conclusion. We are listening to this, and so your input is appreciated. You talked a little bit about the no turning that's associated with that, so you feel that...
Well, I'm retired, and so I see this traffic every day, so I'm right. Not just making this up.
Right.
And also, some other neighbors on my street are retired, and when I went to get these signatures for the petition and got all 43 signatures, these people were mentioning the amount of traffic that goes down that street. I mean, at the end, on business days, you should see the people coming and going. And a lot of people that live on Old Mill are already using Woodbridge to access their homes.
So people cruise, they go down.
They come straight down Woodbridge because they've got the...
They come up through Woodbridge.
They come down Woodbridge because they've got the turning lane there on Portage Avenue.
It's been like that for 40 years, though.
Right.
Yes, but we don't need more traffic. And there are more kids living on my street, too.
Councilor Clement or Councilor Norman, any questions?
No.
Okay, next on our list is Raymond Wheeler.
No, I don't.
Okay, you just want to register in opposition, I'm assuming that's in opposition. Dennis, is it Cal?
I got the reasons signed. I'm doing the letter after I read it. I'm going to warn you now, I can't read as fast as those.
Okay. And Dennis, you're in the condominiums that are right now.
Yes, so I'm originally owner of the condos, been there I guess 11 years now.
Okay.
I think, and I've been selected to talk slow. when we didn't get the second letter, we just got a copy of the first letter, so... I certainly accept what you're saying about. I understand. When we decided to look at this and we got this letter, three of us went down to see James and just to find out. We got the blueprints and then we talked to James for a while, and I thank him for that. He explained what C was, C1 was, what C was, things of this nature. And what we wanted to do was to come here, not with the idea it's a bad building or anything else. Does it make sense, number one? And the second thing is to support properly what we believe in. And that's what we needed the background. Okay. It's easy to go down the street sometimes and get signatures, but we wanted to show our support and our sincerity. We're very concerned about, in our research, we started out with, to develop the four-story planning, we found out that on Portage Avenue, in the 1911, which is already C, applied for a four-story building. And that was turned down by the committee. Because of, you probably know this, you've been there before and saying, oh, you want to bring that up. But the fact
that the property that's right across
it's down. No, it's down a little ways.
No, it's a
yeah. And it's a nice new building in
across from this.
But it was turned down because of the like what we wanted. And I guess the people, the residential area, height, I guess would be the height. Then on our research, we also found that the Deer Lodge, the Deer Lodge United Church was put forth, and our understanding the proposal was rejected as a result of concern of the community pertaining to lifestyle issues. So that was them. So what are our concerns? I made some notes along the way. When we purchased our condominiums, most of this research was done as to the zoning and the surrounding property. We were advised that all properties were zoned residential. Therefore, we proceeded with purchasing the unit. We're concerned about the size of the building too large for the lot property, period. It's being shoehorned in there, and variances are needed. But the big issues are, the parking is one issue. I'm familiar with buildings. I've been the pleasure of owning a few along Portage Avenue group. And the first thing I can tell you in that three-story building, offices and services, 15 isn't going to cut it. I don't care how you look at it. It ain't going to cut it. I'll give you an example. I'm in the financial field, but I'm retired, but I've still got an office. That's my agreement. I always have an office. Actually, my wife insisted I didn't do it. However, I can tell you that an average agent will meet maybe 3 appointments a day, maybe 4. But in the summertime, they're a little less, but in the fall, in the spring, they're very heavy. And when the market goes up or down, they come. Now, I don't know how many agents are going to be in one of those. But a good-sized agency, I can't compare to our own, but a good-sized agency is going to have 4 or 5 reps. Do the math. He's going to have 6 to 8 stalls tied up immediately just for his clients coming. Not all the time, but and it could be more. Some of the reps are very good at getting 4 appointments in a day. You've got the staff there. You're going to need a lot more than 15 stalls to run this. No question in my mind. Been there, done that, gentlemen. We own the building on the corner of Golding and Portage Avenue, the old Bank of Montreal building. And we had 4 reps and about 7 staff. They're not that small. And we always had problems. Always had problems. So it's not going to work there. The thing that I want to bring up that I picked up here was that since Morley Bridge came in, that outside lane is solid. In the morning, curb lane is solid. It's solid during the day, not solid during the day, but you cannot come out on that lane till that light changes. Trust me, come in with me, I tell you that. In the evening, it's not too bad because, of course, the traffic's going the other way.
You're talking about the light that's going...
Yeah, but
that's
the
going
two lights.
Eastbound is
wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
The light is wrong.
Yeah. Well, it's wrong. Yeah, there's two lights there.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
The point I'm trying to make is that traffic is picked up unreal now because they've got to get in that lane for two reasons. One, they got to turn at the bridge. And secondly, sometimes you get behind the bus, and if you get behind the bus, it just backs right up.
You forgot Robbins.
And Robbins. Well, there's accidents at Robbins because my wife had one. So what I'm trying to point out is some common sense here, that it's not going to work. Now, I'm not trying to piggyback on the last speaker, but the fact of the matter is there will be traffic down that street. Those guys, the people coming out, they're going to look to the left, and the traffic's going, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And they're going to say, how can I get out of here a different way? Human nature, and that's going to be traffic down there. I don't know if that's right or wrong, and there will be more traffic. I can support that very strongly. The other thing that is very concerning about me is that I was a little disturbed a bit that we weren't even mentioned in that letter about our condo. In our condo, there's a bank, number 7. And number 7's got 6 condos. 3 of them look right into the back of this, right smack in the back, 50 feet away. Now, you've got to understand that these condos, we have our balcony. They can't see the creek because they have to lean over the rail both ways. All they can see is 50 feet ahead, Portage Avenue. Now, I'm not a very good drawer. So I want to show you something. Got a feel for these people. I don't think anybody would want to live there. This is the picture I took from the first balcony. There's going to be 3 of them. Now this here is my drawing, but we figured that bit is going to fit right into there. There's the corner. That's going right to the corner. In fact, it's even going to be over here. And that's about how high it's going to be. I'll take those trees out. Now, these people get it. Believe it or not, you get the cosmopolitan feeling of watching traffic at night. And it's nice. I'd rather enjoy it myself. Now, this is going to be all gone. And they're going to look in the back of that.
So I was going to say, it's going to impact your sight line for sure.
Huge. Huge. Not small. Huge. Now, it doesn't affect all of us there. But it does affect those condos, which, when they bought, was residential. Yes, it's going to be some lighting. It might cause some problems. Yes, I guess there's vehicle noise and that. But I don't hang my hat too much on that. We have our own. But I will say this, parking. When we first came into the condo, we had problems. We still have problems. One of the 2 problems right now we have are, would you believe, people park in our place and walk across to Perkins. They do.
They risk life.
Yeah, and they don't care. And the second thing is when there's any activity on the church on the other side, and that's a very active church, that the weddings or that, they park in our place. So what we did is we got the proper signage and we put tow away. But what I can see here is somebody going east and they're going to pull into that building and there's no parking. They can make a U-turn to come back, or they might just come into our building, park, because they're going to go there for a signature or for half an hour or maybe an hour. That's what's going to happen. We pick up the phone, because this would happen on Portage. We pick up the phone, would you come and pick this car up? We've got to send a message here and get it. By the time that they get down there, it takes an hour, that car's gone already. And that's reality, fellas. I'm sorry. Okay. That's what happens. So I don't know how you can get around that. But these are just facts that I've been living with. The other thing which we do put up with is some people come early in the morning in wintertime, park there with somebody, and wait till the bus comes along. They get out of their car, go to the bus, get on the warm bus, and they take off again. But that's fine. But you've got to understand in the condo, there's about 8 of them that are reserved for ourselves. Lots of us got 2 cars. So one has to go outside. And so it's not that it's just a one big place. We've got a lot of parking, and of course, vehicles coming in to service the condo and stuff like that.
So your concern with this is that, you know, if the development went ahead, that there'd be people parking your lot as well.
Absolutely, we are.
Do you have the signs up too, the no parking?
We got signs up reserve, right. Visitors parking, and we got signs up three, I believe, that the tow away. Okay. But you can't activate them because of the
Just while we're on parking, maybe we could ask the administration, James, just any requirements in terms of parking. Is there handicap parking and that sort of in the facility? Is there any parameters that we have? And what are the requirements along Portage Avenue? I mean, people can park there right now. Is that right?
There's parking allowed on Portage Avenue. I think it's time restricted for rush hour.
After 9:30.
There's no restrictions on Old Mill.
Right.
What's happened in the past with neighborhoods is they've asked Public Works to put restrictions on residential streets if they have a problem. In terms of the site itself, the bylaw requires one parking stall for every 750 square feet of office space.
But it doesn't stipulate, does there need to be any handicap?
One handicap stall based on that calculation of this amount of square foot.
Okay, so one of the spots will be for handicap.
Yeah.
So it really shrinks it to 12.
No, they still have 13, including the handicap. Well, yeah, except 12. One is reserved for handicap parking.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can't really start to say, I was thinking, well, how could we maybe better manage the parking and say the staff shall only park in stalls 1 to 5? Well, you could put that on site in a sign, but you couldn't really put it as a condition because it'd be very hard to enforce. So you don't want to get into putting conditions on there that you're not going to be able to enforce.
Right.
So it's hard to say. It meets the bylaw. This bylaw was developed by professionals based on other city standards, based on our old standard. It's the same. Bicycle parking's included. It's next to a bus route, a very busy bus route.
Right.
So the bylaw feels that 13 stalls for 9,000 square feet of office is appropriate.
Yeah, and the restrictions that are in Portage Avenue, there's obviously nothing we can do about that because it is a major thoroughfare, as you're saying.
Yeah, and moving the bus stop, I don't know if that's a potential.
Right.
Things like that, we would have to look into that.
Sure. Great. So that.
I think the other thing that a couple other things we're concerned about is I don't know the developer. It's a nice building. But the nice building isn't cutting it. Like, that's not what the problem is. That's not the heartbeat of that community.
Right.
It isn't. So today we think we know what's going in, but we don't know tomorrow. You could have a developer go in there, and if you could buy the next house and get it rezoned for parking, that'll give them 25 spots. That gives it to C-Zone. You can have a nightclub, you can have a restaurant, and the whole thing opens up. It's true. And I only got that from, thanks to James. He wasn't on our side. We just asked the questions, and he answered. So today's today, yes, but what's going to happen later on?
Okay.
And that's a very serious thing.
Yeah. And just one further question, just kind of your background.
Sure,
in the financial industry, I've been had that much experience anyways with that. You're saying most customers, I'm assuming, would come by for about an hour appointment for...
Yeah, I think you're about right, an hour. It depends on... they are getting longer because most of your financial people now just don't do the stocks and the bonds and funds. They do financial planning.
Right.
Which is a 2 or 3 interview system, and you do those, you'll have a client for an hour and a half.
Right.
Sometimes they're less.
Okay.
Sometimes they're just signatures.
Right.
You know? But it does take more time today.
Sure.
And I can tell you on a down market it takes quite a bit of time.
Sure.
That's the nature of it.
Okay.
So that was a concern of ours, is today's today, but what's going to happen later on? And I don't know, I'm kind of all over here, but I'm getting my message across, but if you come into the west end, starting from the east, come onto St. James, it's unique, it really is, and you start at the St. James Hotel. I don't know if I said this already, because I'm kind of moving pretty good here, but you go down Portage Avenue and go to the Primer, do you realize on the commercial side, there's only 2 buildings higher than four stories. 2 on the north side and 1 on our side. And 1 is, the
Holiday Inn.
Thank you. Holiday Inn. And the other is the Manitoba building on beside the Shell Station and Sturgeon and And so I got to think that there's many days like this in the last 20 years in front of people like yourselves. have been turned down. And I'm not telling you how to do your job, never. But you could be opening a can of worms for other people, tearing down buildings and hiring. It could be. Now, I don't know if that it could, it might, I don't know. So, my in conclusion, I tell you our honest and sincere concerns, and we just want the same protection as the other properties that I mentioned. And you have, and our lives are in your hands. And that's all I have to say. If you have questions, I'm prepared to answer them or ask
Mr. Lettke up here. I've kind of asked them throughout the course. Councillor Clement, do you have any questions? Or,
what was that? What was that?
You're too thorough, you said. Councillor Narvin, do you have any questions?
No, I'm good.
Great. Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
We'll get this moving going on as well. Desmond, is it Desmond Francis?
No, I don't mean.
Okay, so you're just registering in opposition to it? Okay, Sandra Francis, some relations. Same. Matthew Gall.
Gail.
Gail. Okay. Opposed. Okay. Is it Natalie? I'm assuming Gail as well.
Thank you.
You're in opposition. Okay. Great. And Marcia Cates? Cats, sorry. You just want to register in opposition to it? Okay. Timothy
Bazunas?
Like,
I just got a few things to say. A lot of stuff was covered already.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If there's been items...
I just wanted to add a few things, some things that weren't said. Okay. I'm self-employed.
Okay.
I own two businesses, so I can understand being in business.
Right.
I also come back, my father used to have commercial buildings. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, my dad built a building in 1971. It was an office building, and it had to be converted to retail.
Right.
That's just the way things go. And I can tell you that will probably happen in that building as well. You can't sit here and guarantee me there's only going to be one business per floor and that they're not going to chop it up and rent. Money is money. If they can make more money, they're going to make more money. And nobody can sit here and say that's going to happen like that. I can't see that. What I want to know also is, if this building goes through, I know our taxes are going to go down. My value of my home will go down. Is the city prepared to reduce everyone's tax on our street by 30 to 50%? That's a lot of money. And I'm not just talking Old Mill or Woodbridge. We're also talking Assiniboine Crescent and the adjacent two other streets that go all the way to Robbins. I grew up in Woodhaven all my life. I was born on Oakdean, and I came back in the area 11 years ago, my wife and I, and we bought on Old Mill Road. So I am a second-generation Woodhavenite. And that's why my dad bought there originally. It's a very unique, woody area. We have deers, we have a creek, we have a river, we have a golf course. We are like a little town in the city. In fact, people come into Woodhaven and think that they're in the country. People still burn woods in their chimneys. This is not made for business. This is a residential area. And it's got to keep its prestige. It's got its environment. We do not want to lose that. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of empty spaces from Portage Avenue all the way to the perimeter highway. Lots of room for businesses. They're sitting empty. We don't need another empty building. Another thing I wanted to talk about that a few things weren't mentioned about the overflow of traffic. We also have the Teacher Society building. And I can tell you, I'm the second house, third lot from the corner. Hundreds of cars at the Teacher Societies. They'll park on Old Mill Road, Woodbridge. They'll park on the other side of Portage, Harcourt, all that area. That is, it's not all the time, but when they have their meetings, it fills up the neighborhood. We don't need more. And also the Dairy Queen. Another thing I noticed in the park, and I'm not opposed to that, I've seen people park on Old Mill Road,
right,
get their bicycles, ride into Woodhaven. It's a big, beautiful park. They play soccer with their kids or baseball. They'll park sometimes on our side, and sometimes they'll go right into Woodhaven. Some people aren't aware that you can access the park through the footbridge. Some do. So like I say, they park there as well. So you have that parking as well going on. Just a few other things, and then I'll let you guys go. I just wrote points here, and like I say, a lot of them have been spoken already, so I don't want to repeat. Oh, with the commercial building, too, there's a subject hire for break-ins and graffiti. I know that. My dad had commercial buildings. We were getting graffiti and break-ins. And I can't tell me that's not going to affect our neighborhood. Right. They break into a commercial building, they'll come down our street as well. And I think that's about all I can tell you. And there's no guarantee also with the business that this can go 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I mean, they put a convenience store in like a Max or a 7-Eleven or whatever. I mean, that's 24-7. And cars parking there when they're not there either. Okay. There'll be people parking there. He's talking about drag racing on Portage. What did a lot of the people do on those drag races? They park on parking lots. There's another subject to having more, attracting more cars, drag racing down Portage Avenue. We'll be parking right on our front street again. So I'm highly opposed to this development. I'm not against a home being built there, or even a two-structure type facility of a home, but I don't want a business there. Yeah. And that's all I have to say.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sure Councillor Clement appreciates you wearing his baseball team on your jersey here.
Okay, thanks.
My own sports for me.
Bruce Armisen?
I hadn't anticipated speaking, but I just don't know the menu of the committee. Am I able to ask questions of the developer?
What you can do is kind of put it in your questions, and the developer will be coming up after, and they'll be answering, kind of retorting to some of the issues that were brought up through the community. So at that point, they would be able to address some of the questions, but may make it a presentation towards us. And, you know, I do appreciate your questions, but it's a forum for us to ask questions of the residents in terms of what concerns they might have if you're supportive or you're opposed to...
And I will try to be quicker. I realize we're getting late. I've been a resident of Woodhaven for over 20 years, and I'm probably the most recent resident of Old Mill. We moved in just over 2 years ago to a beautiful area with character houses. Not a commercial area, not a place where we'd have a glass structure such as this.
Which house are you?
We're at 128 Old Mill.
128, okay.
So the presentation by the developer, frankly, left me with more questions than answers, and I guess I'm going to try and put that into a presentation if I can. Okay. It seems that they're trying to rush into this. We haven't had an opportunity to speak with them as a community to voice our concerns. We got a letter in the mail from another neighborhood resident. We're farther down. We're south on... Old Mill. We didn't know anything about this until we were notified by their neighbors. Certainly we can work with developers. You know, we're not against something going on in this vacant lot,
right.
But we'd like to have some input here. We've had nothing. It just seems that they're trying to force this through. I'm concerned about the businesses. Again, there really haven't been answers that I've heard of what type of business is going in here. And I know the zoning bylaw indicates that it has to be businesses for people within a half-mile radius of there, because that's what's going to happen, or are they seeking people from downtown, from Charleswood? Where are these people coming from? How many employees are going to be parking there? And you've heard it and heard it, but we don't know. There's all these answers that we have no idea. They spoke about the turn on Woodbridge, and it wouldn't be a concern because it's an elaborate detour that people wouldn't take. How do they guarantee that? They spoke about it's a business that people would be leaving. Business is generally open to 4:30 or 5. People will still be having to be restricted, you know, up until 5:30. So again, it's going to be more traffic down. We're near the end of Woodbridge, and we see commercial traffic during those times of day because of that trend. We see UPS trucks, mail trucks, garbage trucks, as everybody said. I don't want to repeat myself here. So how do they control that? The other thing is lighting pollution. What solutions do they have? They've talked about all these different things that they've done to comply with the bylaw. But really, we haven't heard any details, and that concerns me. As Mr. Bazuna said, what will this turn into eventually? And I guess the last point I want to make is the bylaws, I have read it, this building must comply with the character and size of the neighborhood. We've got one-story, two-story homes, wooden siding, 50-year-old neighborhood. Right? It's a beautiful neighborhood. Glass does not fit there. It doesn't fit the structure and the size of the neighborhood. That's my last observation. Thank you.
Is there any changes that you could make to the property that you'd accepted, or is it just a residential development that you think...
I'm not against working with a developer.
Right.
I believe residential would be ideal. Certainly if it was a one-level, two-level structure that fit within the neighborhood, you know.
Okay.
Certainly we could talk about that. I'm not trying to be an objectionist here, but we've had no input into this. We have very little information, and this building does not fit our neighborhood. It's a residential neighborhood. I moved in there 2 years ago because of the nature of the neighborhood.
Okay. Well, I'm sure the developer are taking your questions down, and they'll incorporate that into their conclusions. So
thank you
very much. Any of my colleagues have any questions? Okay, Lillian, is it Fleck?
Yeah.
You're just here for information, is that right?
And last presenter, Fred Morris, in opposition. Fred, are you a resident of the street? Or?
No, I'm sure you know where I live, but I live slightly to the east of there.
Okay.
And on Portage Avenue. And the one thing I see a problem, if we do have to go to that office building for do some business, sorry, I see a tremendous problem accessing the place, even though we're only 2 or 3 minutes away to the east. I have trouble enough getting to my famous donut shop, but when I drive there, it's... But there's just a couple of points I'd like to make, and I don't want to go over things that other people have said. But number one, I find it amazing that there hasn't been a public open house consultation, especially when we have a church right next door to there that would probably be willing to hold it. Something else that's come up over and over again is the traffic turning left onto Old Mill. Now, we have a situation in the eastern part of the ward at 1700 Portage, where there's an office building, provincial office building, and a residential area slightly to the west. And you'd think the people would simply exit by Portage Avenue, but why do we have to have a turning restriction there? So I see as this building goes ahead, we'd probably have to put a turning restriction there. And just a few other points. I think this is simply nothing against business, but this development simply won't work. And there is other projects we've said no to, and the other one I'll point out, besides the Deer Lodge United Church project, the hotel there, there was also a car wash at Portage in Rutland. It was simply rejected because it didn't make area concerns, it didn't make sense in that neighborhood. And I think all these people are really asking for is a quiet neighborhood, the same thing that you have in Woodhaven, Deer Lodge Place, Douglas Park Road, and all over the city. You know, places where there shouldn't be too much through traffic. And people want to maintain this. And they've invested a lot in their homes. And I think for this reason, we shouldn't go ahead with this project.
Okay. Any questions, Councillor Clement or Councillor Norman?
No.
Thanks very much. Now, we can call back the developer. I guess you can... Sure. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak in favor? Or I guess we've already gone through opposition as well. No? Okay. If we could call back the applicant, please.
Okay. So I tried to make as many notes as I could all the way along. I think some of the comments that were brought up initially from the first people that came up to present, I did address in my original opening statements because those were concerns that we didn't anticipate. So bear with me while I navigate my notes. So one of the concerns is construction vehicles. For that, it would be the same concerns for R1 and for C1. I can't see, again, I think I made that comment before. Regardless of what gets built there, it's going to be a brief period of time when there's going to have to be construction vehicles going there, regardless of R1 and C1. And one of the things we only ever talked to, again, we only ever talked to Councillor Fielding in regards to getting his input on the project on the building. As well as when we worked with the city into what would make sense here, it's only because we did not want to get into a situation trying to propose something elaborate that didn't make that the city didn't feel made sense, because they are educated in city planning and what should be done with pieces of property. If this was a piece of a residential piece of property that was viable for a single family home, well, there would be a single-family home there, considering it's been vacant for such a long period of time. My question for everyone is, we are also a resident of Old Mill Road. I think nobody thinks of that. We own 200 Old Mill Road. What are we to do with that piece of land? No, well, it's it's not viable. Nobody wants a single-family home there. We've tried. It's just not... it just doesn't make sense for that piece of property. If that piece of property had a Portage address, I think everybody would be looking at this totally different. Well, front's more on Portage than it does on Old Mill Road. So we thought, okay, let's come up with something that will buffer the neighborhood to the busy street. And this is what made sense. And then also at the same time, like, this piece of property is the is one of the few that is bound by multiple family on the rear, and Portage Avenue on the north, and then residential to the south, compared to all the other pieces of property, which have a beautiful park and creek area directly behind it. If this piece of property didn't have multiple family high-rise condominium behind it, again, this might be a different argument. It might be a different story, but the reality of it is it doesn't. It was laid out initially this way, and it seems to be because only going on evidence of what was there before, originally, a poor choice to lay out this building to be locked by a busy street like Portage. If you look up and down Portage, this is one of the few pieces of property that are on the corner of residential streets and Portage Avenue that aren't already zoned C1 or C2. There are almost zero pieces of property you go up and down Portage in this section of St. James that aren't commercial to begin with. That's why we thought, okay, this makes sense, because if R1's not going to work, what's the next thing? C1. So that's, we're just trying, I think we get painted with the brush of the developer that's trying to do something that doesn't make sense, but really we're in the position of what else makes sense. Because if a single-family home made sense for this piece of property, there would have been a single-family home there 50 years ago. Because we agree there's beautiful character and charm in Old Mill Road. But clearly nobody has thought that of a piece of property that the majority of it is on such a busy street adjacent to, you know, 4 8-lane highway. So, going down again, a lot of the things that were addressed, I felt that we, you know, did talk about that initially. One of the things that did come up was comments about traffic patterns from things like, you know, garbage routes and recycling routes and postman routes. Those are predetermined, regardless of if there's nothing there or if there's a C1 zone building or single family home building. Those routes will not change. They're just not a valid argument in this setting. And I think some of the things that brought up are arguments against this that just don't, they're more complaints about the general neighborhood than complaints that would arise because of an office building being put there. One of the concerns about splitting this building up, we don't have enough parking stalls to be able to split this building up. So it's just not an option. That's why the bylaw is written the way it is. You have to have at least 2 stalls per office space. But we just, it's not an option. And then even then, going into what makes sense for a client, or a person that would be leasing a space from there. It doesn't make sense for them, in the nature of their business, to not have any visitor parking. I think another thing I forgot is, this building doesn't have a large footprint. It only has a 3,000 square foot footprint, or less than that, sorry, what am I saying? It's only 2,900 square foot, or 2,800 square foot footprint, sorry. That doesn't lend itself to a financial, like, the financial business that has a conditional lease with us only has 2 employees. It's just a father and son team. The space isn't big enough for them to put 12 employees in there. And the comment was made, well, for a type of financial business, they think, oh, well, you know, I've experienced it. The person that experienced it said that 3 or 4 people typically come in. Now, they don't all come at once. It's not 3 or 4 people lined up at the door. 3 or 4 people throughout the day. And appointments are staggered. It's not like for that one floor, 4 parking stalls are going to be used up all at once. And a lot of, you know, a lot of things also, like a person who has that space, it's not in anybody's interest to not be able to have any their guests park anywhere. That just seems.
I guess just in terms of the parking, I mean, that's, I guess, a bit of a concern for me, because it does seem, you know, I mentioned that, you know, I think there's 13 spaces that's allocated. One is with the handicap. So, you know, I think you probably will. I mean, if there was a comment made earlier on about, you know, if you do have three floors and three different businesses, you are probably going to have, you know, 8 or 9 employees, I would imagine. So, you know, the parking spaces, even if, you know, 70% of them take cars, we're trying to get that number down to do more transit, that sort of thing. But I think the reality is that's probably what you're going to have. So you might only have a few parking spaces, it seems to me, for customers. So I think there is going to be some traffic and parking issues that you know, does arise through Douglas, or rather through Old Mill Road. So
that's why there is parking allowed on Portage. That we do have alternate sources of transportation, such as a bicycle road, such as a very busy transit road. And if the setting was like this new zoning bylaw is only 6 weeks old. It was just reformed. If the concern was, and these are educated people that put this together, educated in this field, if they felt that for C1 buildings that you needed 5 stalls per 750 square feet, then we would have to have 5 stalls, and this building couldn't be this big. Well, we just built it to what made sense for that site. If this site was smaller, then we would have to change it again. It wouldn't make sense. I just really can't say anything more past that in regards to that topic. Like if it was meant to be differently, then it would be different. One of the comments about the condo, the representative from the condo had was that there's a 4-story building will not have comply with, like, I think they made it seem that a 4-story building, that like this 4-story building that had a variance turned down because it didn't comply with the height restrictions. Like our building is 4 stories, but it's only 39 feet tall. That's within the height restrictions. It's not necessarily how many floors you have. It's based on height. The other comment was the view that was brought up, and it's like I had mentioned before. If this is if we do a single family, anybody can doesn't need any meetings for anybody to come to us and say, let's go build a single family home there. Well, so far nobody wants to. If somebody did come along though, and we put a single-family, 2-story home that built was 35 feet tall, it's like I mentioned earlier, you would still be blocking the same view as a 39 feet tall. And again, that doesn't take a meeting. That doesn't take any input from the public. That's what's allowed to be done.
Did you have a question, Councillor Clement?
Yeah, I do. Who is Brando? Is that
you? No, I'm Cameron Dobie. That's Brian Salvador.
Cameron Salvador over there. Who's Brando? So Brian and Dobie.
Brian Salvador from Dobie Properties Limited.
Oh, I see. You guys are all just using names. Okay.
Yeah, just the company. Dobie Properties Limited is the company name. I'm the president of the company. Brian's the sales manager.
When did you buy this property?
We've had it for, I'm not sure, Brian, do you know the exact date?
A year, 2 years?
It's been over 2 years now, I believe. No?
Last
May? Okay. Yeah, so it's been a year.
So you've owned it for about a year.
A year now, I guess.
Okay.
Sorry. Like, I just was foggy on when we bought it.
I was reading, you know, this when you talked about being an emerging commercial and real estate development company. I think that's good. There's nothing wrong with somebody getting into business. I did that once.
Mm-hmm.
Better looking at you. Better looking at you. Yes, anyway, I'm curious to know though. You seem like a smart young guy. Why would you buy a property without buying it subject to getting it rezoned, as opposed to buying a carte blanche and then trying to go that route?
Because at that time...
Because now you own it.
Yeah, no, I know. Because the situation was, one of the divisions of our company does infill housing, infill building. We have several projects in Old St. Vital, St. Boniface, Fort Rouge, been very successful selling infill single-family homes.
Is that Celtic?
No, that's Dobie Properties Limited. Celtic Enterprises owns that piece of land in their affiliation of Dobie Properties Limited. So Celtic Enterprises owns 50% of Dobie Properties Limited.
Okay.
Celtic owns that Dobie.
Yeah. But...
And that doesn't matter.
No, that to answer your question.
It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, to answer your question, that is why.
You've been in business for 4 or 5 years, and like I said, I'm just going by the way you're handling yourself. You seem to be a bright young guy with a good future, and that's a good thing for Winnipeg. But it just doesn't seem like an astute move to buy a carte blanche like that, I know that there's a zoning bylaw, and you've alluded to it a couple of times. Except you don't have that zoning yet.
No.
So what it says doesn't matter.
No, single-family R1.
You know what I mean?
And because the original intention, like I said before, was to build single-family home, and we are in the business of building single-family homes in all of our other infill situations. So we're constantly marketing for this. This is nothing new. So we said, you know what, okay, like let's go for it. Let's try to make it work, because that was the situation came up. You can buy under these circumstances, under these conditions, and that's it. Take it or leave it. So based on our other success in other infill situations, we went and we took it.
That's fair. I just thought I'd ask the question.
No.
Any other questions, Councilor Clement?
No, I don't think so.
Councilor Urban, any questions?
No, I'm good to go.
And just remind me again, how long was it, it was marketed, you said, as a residential?
Single family, ever since we got it, because we're constantly dealing with clients. We didn't have it marketed actively on the MLS, right. On multiple listing services, but we did have it marketed within our company, dealing with our clients for our other infill housing situations. And like I said,
Was it a year, was it two?
Ever since we bought it. Because I think if you look on who Celtic Enterprises owns half of it,
right,
and Claude Davis owns the other half of it. Right. Claude Davis is a real estate agent. He's been trying to sell this since he's bought it as well.
Right. Okay. And my final question. The community consultation portion. I think someone had mentioned that we should wait till the fire truck goes by. I know they did it. Someone had mentioned that there was the site of the church that was open.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not that familiar with the neighborhood other than our particular piece of property, and we didn't think to go and ask the church to hold a public meeting there, I think. And so we went the route we went with putting as much information in written form as we could, dispersing it to everybody, and making ourselves open. I think we could achieve the same thing if it was private one-on-one, or if it was in a public context. We did not turn our backs to anybody. We shared our information, our phone number with everybody.
Right.
And regardless of which form that was in, if it was over the phone, if it was somebody coming down to my office, me coming down to somebody's home, or Brian coming down and dropping off a package and discussing it with a neighbor, all things that happen, we feel that we would achieve the same effect as in a public meeting.
Okay, any other questions, gentlemen? Nothing right now. Thank you very much. And step down. And if you'd like to kick the chair, Mr. Speaker, or Councillor Clement.
No.
Okay.
How's the feeling?
Okay, I'd like to move that the receipt of representation be concluded.
Aye.
You got a report of the office.
I'm sorry. The report of the Winnipeg Public is to be taken as read.
All in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
For the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All in favor? Opposed? Carried.
The recommendation is that Winnipeg Public Service not be concurred in the forwarding of the Standing Committee on Property Plan and Development. And
all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And my reasons for opposing this are twofold, in terms of some of the parking issues that are associated with it, as well as some of the traffic closing that was mentioned in a third front, I guess, in terms of the nature or the character of the street. I'm not sure it does fit in, and as such, I'll be opposing it. And I'll move that the public hearing with respect to the application be concluded.
All in favor, opposed, carried. Carlos, the other two.
Yeah, we need to move those as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, opposed, carries.
On the conditional use?
Yes, conditional use. I'm sorry, that's item number three.
Item number three.
Four. Okay. That the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All in favor, opposed, carries.
That the section 254 criteria A, B, and D, subsection 24-7, Winnipeg City, Winnipeg Charter, set out are not satisfied.
All in favor, opposed, carried.
That the recommendation of the public service not be concurred.
All in favor, opposed, carried.
The public hearing in respect to that application be concluded.
All in favor, opposed, carried.
And item number five, the variance. I'll move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All in favor, opposed, carried.
That the receipt of public representation be concluded. Mm-hmm. The criteria A through D, subsection 247.3 of the City of Winnipeg Charter, are not satisfied.
On the favor, opposed, carried.
That the recommendations of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in.
Not concurred in.
And that the public hearing in respect to that application be concluded.
All in favor, opposed, carried.